Hi, welcome to Kicking Goals with Georgia Perry. I'm your happy host, Georgia. I'm a primary school teacher by day and empowerment leader by night. I love to chat, so I'm sitting down with incredible women to capture their stories. Be present, feel inspired, and create change. This is How It Goes. Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Jermaine.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Jem and I actually caught up last weekend and I soon figured out that we needed more than one episode to record.
Oh yeah.
Girls love to talk. So strap yourself in, order your coffee and enjoy. So NLP practitioner, empowerment coach and personal trainer, that is quite the title. But first, instead of Googling NLP practitioner, I thought I'd ask you, Jermaine, live to find out more.
Yeah, absolutely. So NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. So if you break that down, neuro meaning brain or nervous system or neurons, linguistics being language, so language of the brain. And programming is essentially what we're downloading, all of these subconscious patterns of behavior that we're downloading through our younger years and throughout our life through experience. And it's essentially a modality where we allow us to tap into these behaviors that are currently getting in our way, whether it's limiting thoughts, limiting behaviors, limiting patterns, and identifying where they actually downloaded into our subconscious mind, where on our timeline, and then utilizing various different techniques and tools to then kind of start to change the language of the brain and reprogram how we're showing up.
Wow, so interesting. And where did you fall into this position?
Well, I have always been like fascinated with neuroscience and quantum physics and just human behavior. It's always been a bit of a hobby for me on the sides. I was a personal trainer for a few years. I also am a naturopath, bachelor in naturopath. And I popped out of the other end of my degree as a naturopath and I loved it, absolutely loved it, but I still felt like there was something missing. And I started to listen to the conversations that I have with people and the things that seem to kind of really energize me when I have these conversations. And I thought, neuroscience, like brain stuff, this is what excites me, right? Behavior. And NLP cropped up a few times throughout my degree. I did a mini course while I was studying naturopathy. And in the end, it was just divine timing. A mentor who I still continue to work with today, a couple of years later, happened to pop up into my feed again and again. And I just thought, this is my time to do this. And yeah. I fell into it. And, you know, I'd been in my business for about a year and a half prior to actually taking on this certification. And when this came together, it was like the rebirth of my business. It was just the passion, everything. My soul just said, this is it. You've integrated everything now. And where I started off identifying as a naturopath, I now identify myself as an empowerment coach who has naturopathy as a tool. But it allows me to now, I kind of see the way we show up in our current society where there's so much information and resources available to us. If weight loss is a perfect example of this, right? Sorry, it's a very long answer to your question, but you know, if exercise and diet were the only solution to losing weight, we would not have obesity as an epidemic in our Western world. And quite often we know what we need to eat. We know what we need to avoid eating. We know how we need to move. There are personal trainers offering free resources, YouTube, social influencers. We have unlimited resources, but we still can't seem to lose the weight. And so the diet and the exercise isn't the root of the issue. It's why we can't consistently show up to the things we know we need to do. And it's belief systems and values and, you know, patterns of behavior that we download at a young age. And when we can identify that as the root cause and work on that, it allows us to then effortlessly implement these strategies that are going to get that sustainable result.
So interesting, and I can connect so well with that. Being a teacher, I see so many kids from different backgrounds, and it's so interesting to see what they come with to school. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so interesting. So Jem and I connected at F45, and Jem is one of the amazing coaches. So you are always seen to be so bubbly and happy and full of energy and so inspirational to all the members at F45. So I'm really interested to know, who are you inspired by?
Oh gosh, there are so many people. I am just so incredibly inspired by so many women in the empowerment space right now. a perfect...
I've just clicked record on our little time lapse. A few minutes in.
Better late than never. Yes, there are so many incredible women doing incredible things in the, like, women empowering women space and just, you know, just lifting women up. And so that, for me, I'm just, the more I start to kind of network in my own field, I'm just learning background stories of these incredible women, and it just blows my mind. In, I guess, on a large scale, people like Marie Forleo is someone who, she's really fun on the socials. She has a YouTube channel called Be School. That's where she started off, but she's a very influential, powerful person. People like Mel Robbins, Tony Robbins, these are people who, when you have a look at what they do and how they show up in their space, they just articulate new ways of thinking to people in a very clever way. And that was really what kind of got my interest in NLP, was looking at these people and how powerful their impact is on the change they create. So that on the larger scale. But then when we start having a look at our local community, if you haven't heard of her, Socially M on social media, I actually went to one of her events last night, and hearing her background story that gave her her hunger for her business. And you can see that now that I know that story, I can see how she has successfully created such a phenomenal and, you know, ever-growing community of followers, because she is so genuine in her reason and drive to show up. So there are a lot of local people on that scale as well, who I just think, you know, just keep doing great things and lifting people, women, because that's what's inspiring me.
And I was actually going to ask you, Jem, Socially M, her event last night, you attended that. So can you give us some insights into what the event was like?
Oh my goodness. It was
I was very jealous living online.
So if you are a rising businesswoman, entrepreneur, hobbyist in anything, or you're wanting to start on the socials, check out this girl, right? She is just insanely empowering.
Lady on fire.
Oh yeah. However, last night, it was my first, you know, she's been running this for a couple of years now. This was my first event that I've attended, and boy, does she put on a party, I have to say. But even her speakers, I hadn't actually heard of any of them until I actually attended the event. And, you know, Samantha Wills, profoundly amazing and inspiring and, you know, intelligent woman in business, owns a jewelry company, and hearing her story, it was amazing. But it was just an event where, you know, it's all people trying to make it in their some way, shape or form. You know, mums who, you know, aren't there for a business, but they are showing up in a way that they can start to find income to support their family while being the best mum they can be without leaving the home. And you just hear these different stories, and seeing these women in a community where they are just all there to lift each other up and collaborate and network. And there's no, we're all women in business, but there's no competition. There's no overlap.
I
could
feel the positive energy through the photos and through the videos. It was such a shame that I couldn't make it.
There's so many people. For example, one of the speakers were talking about how, you know, the mum influencer space is very saturated right now. But, you know, these women are still succeeding, and they all have like thousands and thousands of followers because they're all unique. They're all showing up in an authentic space and coming from a place of their own experience and their own passion and from that purpose. And it was just so great to see women in that collaborative environment.
Oh, so beautiful, Jem. And I you're touching on point of difference, and you definitely have a point of difference. So today's episode is purely about you. I believe everyone has an incredible story, so I'm really excited to hear yours. And that's pretty much the reason why I started the podcast, because I believe everyone can learn from people's highs and lows. So Jem, can you talk us through what was life like for you growing up?
Yeah, sure. So I had this conversation with someone the other day, as I've always been, as much as you'll learn in this conversation, notoriously, historically, I was a bit of a stress head. But in terms of how I cope with circumstances and experiences, I've always been very forgiving, and I move on very quickly. And so when I tell stories of my upbringing, a lot of people are kind of a little bit shocked in some way, sense or form, but I guess we all take it in our own stride. But I grew from a split family. My mum, who I ended up living with, she was a chronic alcoholic. It made me grow up very, very quickly. She was a beautiful, beautiful woman, don't get me wrong. But, you know, alcohol and addiction, it does different things. And so it changed the environment that I worked up in and I grew up in, sorry, and I had to grow up pretty quick. I had a pretty traumatic experience when I lived in Broome at 8 years old, which just rocked the entire community. And it's nothing ever that I ever held on to. But now that I've moved into the space of NLP work and as a practitioner in that space and empowering women with the different tools to be able to unlock these experiences that have shaped their behaviors that are keeping them trapped in adult years, allowed me to do a little bit of self-work myself. And so I had actually learned, so my parents, they split when I was two. They kept a pretty good relationship. My dad remarried and had two kids in the new marriage, and she had her three children. My mum remarried and he had four children of his own. And both parents, one family was up in Broome, one family was down here. And because I was constantly moving between visiting both parents, I just felt like I didn't belong in either of my families. I felt like they had now got their own family, and because there were so many kids in each side of the family, they all shared their own memories and upbringings and everything and experiences together. And I just felt really disconnected and alienated from that. And I guess as a child, one thing I teach my clients is that consciously or unconsciously, at every moment of our life, we're always asking three power questions, and it is, what's happening? What does it mean to me, and what am I going to do about it? And quite often we're asking these questions subconsciously. We're not quite aware of it, but we're giving meaning to things, and these are shaping our belief systems. And so as this child, you know, what's happening? My parents have split. They have their own family. What does that mean? It means that they don't love me anymore because they have their own families. What am I going to do about it? I'm going to do whatever I can to win their love. And so I became someone very highly motivated by my sense of pride. And I look at the way I grew up. I was, you know, I left school to enter the workforce, and I would always, you know, I was in year seven running a cafe on the weekends and just like completely overdoing it, trying to stretch myself as much as I could. From the moment I was 18, I was in general management roles in hospitality and running other people's businesses. And I lost a lot of amazing friends. I just disconnected from friends, family. Like, it was just, I was a workaholic, and I was hospitalized twice from just overworking and stress and burnout and just unknown cause, just collapsing and ending up in hospital. And that just became my drive. And it wasn't until later years when, you know, I struggled with some binge eating and the way I showed up in the initial stages of my own business. And on reflection, I started to identify it's the meaning that I gave to that sense of pride and how, in which ways I could earn that and how I could earn acknowledgement and, I guess, attention, I guess, in that sense. So that very much is what gave me my hunger and my drive and, I guess, my strong work ethic. When we're having a look, the different things that shapes. I mean, I'm so incredibly grateful for that experience because it wouldn't allow me to have the fire in my belly to empower women and, you know, the drive and push through those times. Exactly. And I've found in my recent program that I'm running at the moment, stories that I've never spoken about from my past are now coming up because they're empowering tools to allow people to see that, you know, something horrific could happen to you. And, you know, you have a choice in that situation. As much as you can't change the circumstance, and it might be a horrendous circumstance, you have a choice in that given moment on how you're going to respond. Yeah. I tell my patients and my clients all the time is, you know, to say that we have responsibility isn't to take blame or fault, but responsibility is two words. It's our ability to respond in any situation. And when we can have a look at the situations that surround us and take responsibility for that and think, do I let this be my story and become a victim, or do I utilize this and make this a strength and use this to harness, to empower other people in growth? And I guess that's kind of been my evolution. My story became the success of my business, really, unknowingly, until recent times where I've realized that.
Wow, such powerful words, Gemma. And so can we just strip it back to high school, where you said that you were running cafes and working crazy hours, running other people's businesses? I feel like when you leave high school, there's so much pressure on young people these days to have it all figured out. And without the experiences and without actually reflecting on what people are passionate about and what they're really good at, did you sort of fall into those jobs? Did you feel that pressure to have it all figured out?
It was really strange because I look back on memory, and in high school, I was actually doing really, really well with my grades. I actually think I was in that season of life where you're a teenager and you're rebelling a little bit. And, you know, I think it was just my parents thought that I wasn't showing up academically as much as well as I could. But academia has not really been a big thing in my family. My dad's always been someone that, you know, you've got to work to get the experience. You know, your resume is more important than a bit of paper that says you're smart or something.
Yeah.
I didn't actually graduate from high school. I dropped out in my final year and just continued to run restaurants. And I was really, really great at that. And at a very young age, I was pretty hot property and people were kind of trying to poach me and stuff. So I thought, you know what, I'll get the experience. And I guess, when we have a look at how we become conditioned as adults, it's generally the belief systems that we have aren't necessarily our own. We pick them up from other people. And, you know, my dad is a very hardworking man. And so, you know, you have to work hard for the money that you have and everything is the face-to-face hours and, you know, you've got to work to pay your way. And so that was just the way that I was raised in that sense as well. And when I decided, I'd hit burnout for the second time after 12 years working in the hospitality industry, that was kind of what pushed me to do my degree and go and start studying. And I guess in contrast to where a lot of people's parents would be, they'd be at the end of high school and they'd be pushing them to go into university or study or find what they want to do, when I had announced this to my dad, he was almost mortified. Like, how are you going to afford this? Don't expect me to bail you out financially. Like, how you have to work. Like, you know, like the bit of paper doesn't mean anything. You've got to actually be working to do this. And so it caused a lot of conflict. It caused a lot of internalized stress because I felt like I was letting other people down. I guess it was a bit of it. I actually kind of, I look in hindsight and I think, the journey that I went, where I went into the workforce and allowed myself to discern what I actually want to study rather than going straight into study straight from schooling. I had gone into university with a lot of younger girls who had come straight from college and they'd already done 2 degrees and not finished them. They'd started and realized that wasn't for them and jumped courses, which is obviously expensive. It loses a lot of time as well. And I'm very grateful that I went into work first and then
gain that experience. Skills.
Absolutely. But then it does also, it was a sense where I felt like a bit of a fraud when I was in that environment as well. You know, I was a little bit older than a lot of the young girls studying, felt like I wasn't really supposed to be there. You should have been younger. And, you know, I'd come from like stressed out, burnt out, and then I was studying a degree in natural health. So I felt like a bit of a fraud in the fact that I was.
And it's crazy because the other girls were probably thinking, oh, this girl has so much experience. Yeah. She's going to be amazing at these courses. So this is all the ideas that we create inside
our head. The inner dialogue, right?
Yeah, definitely. So, Jem, last week I spoke to Coco from Coco Studio Designs, and it was really interesting to hear her reasons for starting her own business. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to know, why did you decide to go against the grain and move from, I guess, being employed to starting your own brand?
Yeah, sure. So I've always... there's always been something within me. I think from my background in hospitality, my tipping point there was I am burning myself out for somebody else's business and, you know, they're taking the reward for it and I'm just earning a standard income at, you know, the loss of relationships and everything else.
Yeah.
When I started studying, you know, study in itself takes a big toll and you still got to work around that. It's still very tiring and stressful. I knew deep down that I was going to do my own thing. While I was doing my degree, I had also put a significant investment into doing a business coaching course at that point. I had envisioned that while I was studying, I would develop a program so that when I had graduated, I had passive income coming from this online program to allow me to comfortably set myself up for that one-on-one space with my clients. However, it was way too much and it set me up for another burnout. So I think I'm just one of those A-type personalities who just doesn't learn to stop.
Mind is always ticking.
Oh, yeah. But I know the exact tipping point where there was a moment in my life where, you know, friends were saying, you know, Jem, I know you're stressed out. I know you're busy. I don't want to be a burden. And I just thought, is that the identity that I've created for myself? And I thought, I don't want to live this way. Like, I want to create a life of freedom and teach people that we don't need to be in this rat race to have an amazing life and also feel abundance in that same sense and make an impact at the same time. And I think that's what really facilitated the change. I thought, I need to get out of this employed mentality and I need to live life on my own terms and I need to create something. And it took a lot of sacrifices, to be fair. I knew that when the day that I made that decision that I would be living in a place of scarcity for a very long time. But I also knew that it is when you have nothing that you are hungry. Yeah. So that...
And everyone needs that space of transition.
Yes, it has to happen absolutely.
At some point. So looking at you now,
mm-hmm.
what does your day-to-day diary look like?
Oh, different every day.
If I was to open up your diary, let's say for Monday,
yeah.
what would I have planned?
Oh, okay. I have to give you different examples because not only am I a naturopath and building out a program and a business owner, but I also coach at F45 because, as you mentioned, it's like...
Why not?
Yeah, and more. But I'm just there because I just love the community and it just changes my wake up and gets me out of the office. So say, for example, on a Monday, I will be at the gym at 5 a.m. running the classes, and then my working day doesn't start until I finish that shift. So yes. it is very diverse. However, on my normal typical day, my day starts at 5 a.m. always, sometimes earlier, and it always starts with drawing the energy and centering myself before I let the environment, circumstance, things take my energy. So it'll always start with active movement, and I honor that with wherever I'm at in my cycle. It might be F45, it might be CrossFit, it might just be a run or a walk down the beach with my dog or a yoga sequence from home. I really honor where I'm at on any given day.
And I'm just going to jump in there, Jem. Last weekend we spoke about doing a separate episode about the cycle and talking about different foods that you can eat to honor your cycle and different types of exercise. So I'm really excited to dive even further into that, possibly next time. But just wanted to add that in there because I'm finding that really quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it really makes a profound impact on, you know, your well-being. It's phenomenal. I'm not going to use that word. I can't use it. Phenomenal.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. So when my partner's home, he works away, but you know, we would do CrossFit together. We will always spend time by the water with the dogs and we just have our morning routine where we get a coffee.
Yeah.
So a lot of my morning is me. Like it's me, my partner, the things that I love in my life. Because if you don't prioritize the important things at the start of your day, then you're not going to have time. Because there's always, if you don't schedule in time for you, other people schedule their time into your calendar.
Yeah.
And so the things that I make priority happen in that first hour, first couple of hours. One thing I educate women, and I'm now starting to really strengthen in my own morning routine, is routine's incredibly important. Like it doesn't matter how different your day is. I mentioned that some days I'm in the gym, some days I'm working from home, some days I might be up north with my partner, but you need to have consistency in your routine. Otherwise, this is where anxiety and overwhelm, and I saw this massively in COVID when people were working from home and homeschooling and everyone's routine got flipped upside down and mentally it was incredibly challenging.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually would have a pocket of movement, a pocket of reflection or visualization or meditation, and a pocket of growth. And that'll be my power hour in the morning. It may look different pending the day, but I'll always make sure that's my priority for the day. And then I'll typically have a really nourishing breakfast. And then, you know, it depends on each day. Mondays and Tuesdays, I look out for personal development, for administration, for business growth. Wednesdays, yep. Thursdays, Fridays, I look out for my clients, and nothing else matters except for my clients and giving them the best treatment plan, following up on like emails and communications. And then typically over the weekends, or even, you know, if my partner's away, I'll lock out a couple of hours just to kind of plan and forecast the week ahead. So I guess in a way of saying that I'm a very unstructured and unorganized person, I structure in the sense of I know my outcome that I want for each day. I might not know how I'm going to get there, but you have to know what outcome you want. Otherwise you just end up wasting time being busy and achieving nothing.
Yeah. And I would imagine you would have to have those structures and the time management, everything in place, because you don't have that person above you telling you this is due at this time.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, working from home, it's very easy to notice the cleaning that needs to be done and, you know, get the little, oh, maybe I should eat something. So having, you know, for women in business who are working from home or transitioning into that, working in 90-minute blocks. So you would do like a 90-minute block, have 10 minutes where you completely change focus entirely. You might do the dishes in that break. You might do some meditation. Have a meal, whatever it may be, but flick off entirely and then come back. And even though you're having multiple breaks throughout the day, the time that you're focused is focused energy and a lot more productive. So that's a good way to kind of cycle a working day as well.
Love it. So I actually had burnout as one of the topics that we would talk about today. So it's really interesting that you've already touched on that. So Jem, having so many pans simmering, how do you balance everything? And my question that I was going to ask is, have you experienced burnout? So I know that you have. Mm-hmm. So how do you recognize the signs?
Absolutely. So I think coming from such a big drive not to have that in my life anymore, I'm very quick to identify when that things start to shift. And this is, again, why I put so much importance into cycling with your menstrual cycle as well. So you can identify, like, when you're biochemically being told you need to withdraw, or when you're actually just burning the candle at both ends and you have no nutritional or energy reserves left to keep pushing forward. So it's a big distinction. But like what I said with how I start my day, self-care is so incredibly important, mm-hmm. Especially if you're in a space where you're trying to empower other people. It's the same as a mother, you know, you have to fill up your own bucket in order to be able to fill up others and give them your best. And you're only cheating them by cheating yourself. Like, people think it's so selfish to be like to do self-care, but it's so selfless because everybody else gets the compromise and the consequence when you don't take care of yourself. So when I identify that things are starting to shift, it's a big energy drop. I noticed that, you know, I become mentally foggy. I used to historically become really snappy. And I think that was also the environment that I was in with my ex-partner as well. However, you know, little things that people just don't pay attention to is how are you communicating with the people who you love is a big one, because that will change if you're tired or burnt out or, you know, just depleted. You know, you start to drop the ball, you feel unproductive, it takes longer to do things that you typically be all over. It's just these little tiny things. If you're going to the gym and you're just not doing what you know you can usually do, then that's a sign to go, okay, maybe this week I back off a little bit and I just do a little bit more centered style movement like yoga, where I can just realign. So there's some big factors I noticed.
And Jem, you're really good at noticing the signs within the gym. We've spoken about this before. Some people just like to show up for the social side and just move their body if they're not feeling like, today I can lift heavy weights, which I think is really beautiful. And that's probably why so many people feel comfortable around you in the gym, because you can recognize the signs. so good. So Jem, I'm interested to know, what are your goals for the rest of 2021?
Oh, I just don't even know where this year's gone, to be honest. I cannot even believe we're already halfway. But I am actually in a transition right now, where I have an incredible partner and we have this 9-year connection, which has finally come to fruition in the last year.
I can feel the love every time you talk about your partner. I can just feel the love, the energy. So beautiful.
He is amazing and he is so supportive. And, you know, he is someone that is just like, nothing's impossible. If you think it, you do it. And like, really pushes me. So
the cheerleader.
So our transition at the moment is, he is actually working away 4 and 4, but just works in small towns. And so I think Durian Bay is the next town where he'll be located. And that can change. There are several towns throughout Australia and New Zealand. And so we just thought for the next 12 months, so I'm going to use the last of this year to set myself up. I am all online based. And my passion that just excites me in my life and energizes my life is communicating with my community and empowering women. So
really all you need is a good quality internet connection and you can...
That is exactly it. So I am literally just getting a high-speed dongle and I am actually going to join my man month on, month off, and live in these small towns with him. We're getting a camper trailer and we're just going to, you know, holiday for a month, knuckle down for a month, holiday for a month, knuckle down for a month. And so the remainder of 2021 is just setting up to facilitate that. And, you know, making sure, you know, if you're in business, I had this conversation with another empowering businesswoman earlier this morning about the importance of systems and automation. Because
can we connect that together? Is it system automation?
Systemization. Or automaticity. Anyway, you want your business working for you, really, so that, you know, what lights me up about my business is my time with my girls. So I don't want to be burning myself out doing all the back end and, you know, consistently showing up in areas where technology can do that for me. So over the next few months, I've got a program which is taking a lot of my energy, and I'm just actually...
Can you give us an insight? What's the program?
Yes, I can. So it's actually Get Your Shit Together.
Oh, love it.
Beep, beep. Oh, yeah, I should have given you a little warning. No senses here. But and it is a mind, body, heart, soul focus. And it encompasses NLP, it encompasses naturopathic medicine and Western medicine, it encompasses, you know, Eastern medicine philosophies, emotional release techniques. It really allows women to turn inwards and shut out that background noise and the comparison artist and the inner mean girl, and really listen to the voice on the inside that is guiding us and has all the answers. And I'm quite, every new intake that I take, I literally notice my own health improve. I literally, people say, you've got a glow, Gem, and I'm like, well, I'm in the next intake with my girls, they give me this energy.
So beautiful.
So that is a lot of my focus for the remaining of the year, whilst also on the back end setting up all this systemizing and automate my business. So that, you know, I can ensure my girls are getting frequent contact and connection and everything's running smoothly. If for some reason I am out with no connection, my girls are still getting the love and there's still a port of call for them. So that's it.
Oh, beautiful. Can't wait to watch your journey grow, Gem. How can we follow you on the socials?
So jermaine.finlay_naturopath, and that is huge. So I'm sure you'll pop it in your show notes.
Yeah, definitely in the show notes.
Also jermainefinlay.com and jermainefinlaynaturopath on Facebook as well.
And I hear that you've been on a few podcasts recently, so we'll have to pop in some links so people can listen into those as well.
Oh, I would love that. I'm sure the girls would too.
So next, we have podcast and book recommendations.
Oh, yeah.
So do you have any juicy ones for us?
I do. You know what? I used to be like a podcast girl. Like I don't actually own a television because I'm just immersed in knowledge all the time. But I've actually put the podcast on a back burner of recent, and I've just found some really great audiobooks.
Yeah.
So The Energy Codes by Dr. Sue Mortar is a incredible book. And I'm a bit of a science nerd, but she encompasses quantum physics and energy and the chakra systems and neuroscience, but makes it in a really fun way to read that allows, she actually gives practical tools on breathing techniques and anchoring techniques and way to move the body and hold the body in a particular way to harness this newfound energy and actually reach a higher level of consciousness and, you know, get out of what keeps us in, you know, when our chakra systems are out of balance, particularly starting at the bottom chakra, our root chakra, we live in a place of anxiety and fear and overwhelm. And she gives some really great background into why you want to anchor yourself and then practical strategies on how to do that in a really fun and colorful way. So I love her book. Another book, which again brings in the chakra systems with, you know, a lot of evidence base around it, so it's not that woo-woo kind of topic, is Dr. Deanna Minnick. She has a book called The Whole Detox, and she uses color therapy and sound therapy and all of these things for a whole way of healing. And these books aren't, I know it sounds a bit overwhelming, like quantum what and neuro, huh? But it's actually written for the general public. So it's very easy to read, and a lot of case stories that really inspire you to realize like the ability of, you know, harnessing your thoughts and controlling, taking responsibility for your actions in life and how powerful that can have a profound effect on your physical health as well. Two other books that I love, again, they're all just doctors, but Dr. Bruce Lipton has a book called Biology of Belief, and he is a cellular biologist is where he started off, but he was the one who, like, he's now brought the science as to how our thoughts and emotions change the physical body. And Dr. Joe Spenza, and he has a book called Becoming Supernatural, is another one who brings this in as well. So these are all the books that I like to immerse myself in. But there are a lot that I'm actually now starting to give clients. I always give my clients, as a part of their treatment plan, a reference like thing, and I'll give them book homework as well that they have to try and read. So they typically fall into it. And another great one, like, if all of this is like, that's too sciencey for me.
And if you have extra time on your hands, this next one.
The 5 a.m. Club. I think it's Robin Sharma. That book is so empowering. It's almost written in a story tale. Like, it's about an artist and this entrepreneurial woman. And it's just really written in a story where you're reading through these characters, but it's a personal development book in, like, they share lessons and they go on this journey, and it's a really fun read. But it gives you some really empowering principles. And these are principles that the most successful leaders around the world implement in their day. But it's in a storybook, and it's like a love tale in the end of it, and there's holiday and travel. And so it's a really fun way to start your self-development journey and really put in some good structure and routine and consistency into your life to build success. So
beautiful.
They're my faves.
Love that, Jem. Thank you. Thanks so much for sharing those. And thank you so much for coming into the studio today and recording with me for today's episode. So I feel like this is going to be a really exciting season. If you found this episode interesting or know someone who would, please leave us a 5-star review and share it with your tribe. So thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks, Georgia.
Have a wonderful day. Bye.